This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch.
Presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse.
With Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Top feed you some more football here on this Turn It Up Tuesday, NFL Lunch style. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. John Harbaugh met with the media yesterday talking about various subjects relating to his team. Four wins in a row, including Sunday against Washington, 30-23. But Jaden Daniels was throwing the ball over the middle with some level of success. So, John Harbaugh, what's up with that?
Yeah, they hit the over routes. They hit four or five over routes. Those were kind of the chunk plays for him for the most part. We saw what we needed to do. Those were mostly zone coverage calls. Some have a zone man zone matching ball with them. That we just got to play them better. I think we played well across the board, probably 90-95% of the time. But there's still, you know, four plays, five plays that we can play better.
Yeah, a lot of times on those crossing plays, one was Humphrey, one was Wiggins, where they get shook, you know, and then. I mean, they're both too fast. A lot of times it was the tight end, you know, and he can't run that
Zach Ertz.
Yeah. So that was what was disappointing, is their eyes go elsewhere, and then they lose their receiver, and then he's running across the field all by himself. I remember that two times for sure.
And not to belabor this point, but haven't we seen that a lot this season? And you mentioned they got shook, Vinny. Not necessarily a lack of communication, just a lack of
lack performance. Of fundamentals. Yeah, lack of technique and fundamentals. That's the thing. Where are your eyes? Your eyes got to be on the dude's hip, not in the backfield. Yeah, I mean, Harbs talks about four or five plays all the time. And the thing is, you know, if it's an incompletion or something, you can kind of get away with it. But it seems like when they screw up, Bob, turns into a big play.
He said 90% of the time they were on point. Boy, that 10% seems to be big in our memory banks here, though,
well,
doesn't
it? Well, Bob, let me just say this. When you they ran 56 plays, so 10% is five. So if you're on defense, so if you're giving up five big plays on defense, you know, that's enough to get you beat.
Now, Roquan Smith, slow start to the 2024 campaign after a brilliant basically his year and a half in Baltimore. He's been a stud. He's been a stud his entirety of his career, going back to his days with Chicago. But a slow start seems to be getting back to the Roquan that we come to know and love, which is a two-time first-team All-Pro. So John Harbaugh, Roquan learned, and now what is he learning, and what are we learning from him learning?
Talk the plays all the time with all the guys. So he wants to talk ball, and he's the kind of guy that's always going to want to talk about the plays he could do better. He's never the guy that wants to – he'll accept a compliment. I mean, everybody likes to be patted on the back, of course, but he doesn't need that. You know, what he needs and wants is, okay, this is what I got to look at here. Why was I thinking that? What can I do better? That's how he approaches it.
Now, and Bob, a year ago, there was not a game where we said Roquan wasn't awesome. And now we're like, does he look the same? You know, I mean, there's questions.
He looked a step slow earlier.
Yeah, and he's been, you know, the pass coverage stuff is showing up a little bit more this year. So, yeah, it's just different. I don't know if it... does he miss Patrick Queen? Is, Simpson, he's got to cover up for Simpson a lot more now. I don't know exactly what the deal is, but he's not as dominant as he was last year.
And still a premier player. Let's not dismiss that by any stretch of the imagination. But when you set the bar as high as he has...
Yep.
Anything less than that, we're questioning. And like you just said, well, what's why? New defensive coordinator, but Zach Orr was with him. I mean, Zach Orr, I believe, was like the first guy he started bonded with when he came. So, I mean, not an area of concern.
No.
But you're hoping he gets back to that all-pro self of his.
That is definitely a fact. And you had Patrick Queen who went and got paid, Bob, who was a Pro Bowl linebacker. Now he's got basically a rookie that he's playing next to that he's got they're counting on him to bring him along. So, yeah, and they're playing a lot more dime defense. Where Queen was those two were never off the field last year. So that's different, too, this year.
And John Harbaugh's point about Roquan not wanting attaboys. It's like Lamar. Yeah. I mean, Roquan, hey, you led the team in tackles. Yeah, but I kind of screwed up here, screwed up there. I mean, he's had attaboys, been paid, been an all-pro. He was about to ring. Same with Lamar. After we played the cuts yesterday, after the game, you would have thought they lost by 40 points. Not a game in which he helped them win yet again. He was probably lamenting the interception on the first drive of the game more than anything else. It's Vinny at 80-1057 The Fan. It is NFL Lunch here on this Turn It Up Tuesday. That Ravens running game. We talk about how awesome it is because you talk about Derrick Henry, talk about Lamar Jackson. But John Harbaugh, what about Pat Ricard?
I don't really remember it like specifically like that. I don't think we ever thought that Pat wasn't going to be a big part of the offense or play a prominent role in our minds. You know, we just knew that he's unique. He's another guy who's one of one, and what he does so well. So it's not something you didn't want to have in your offense. Like how much it was going to be used game to game or what the game plans would be, you know, you just never know. But definitely when Derrick came on, it probably made it even a bigger part, maybe. I can see the point on that, but it wasn't how we were thinking so much. We just knew Pat was going to be a part of it.
And with Derrick coming in, like I said, yes, he played 51% yesterday, on Sunday. So having Henry in there, that's extended his career, Bob.
You said it yesterday, Vinny, that last year it seemed as though Pat Ricard's impact was more minimal.
Yes.
This year, a guy that might be going to the Pro Bowl, based on what we've seen so far.
Yeah, well, last year it was about Keaton Mitchell, and you know, it was kind of a different style. Wasn't as much of ground, pound, knock you off the ball type thing, whereas now that's what it is. And Bob, how many times was Kolar, Ricard, three tight ends on the field? Very seldom.
Now, the new kickoff rule has been a lightning rod at times here in 2024, and we saw last Sunday, a couple of days ago, against Washington, hey, Ravens actually got to return some kicks. Mm-hmm. So John Harbaugh says, hey, you know, that's kind of cool, I guess.
I'm okay happy with it. Chris is okay happy with it. I mean, it's nice to get some reps finally. The whole idea was to get more kickoff returns, and there really aren't. I think we could be better. We can cover better. We can return better. And we just got to keep working. I mean, I appreciate the guys because I feel like, you know, we've got either five, six, or seven guys on our kickoff team at any one time who are rookies. That's a high number. So we're a very young team with our backup group. And so those guys are learning, and they've done a great job with punt and punt return. And they have to, and they've done well. So we got to keep training those guys. And I think as those guys keep getting better, our kick and kickoff return will keep getting better.
Yeah. I mean, they've got young guys because they're not blocking for the returner very well is what I see. You know, that's a big part of it. Now, Harbs, what he wants is what the Ravens wanted was, and what would get more kickoffs if you put the ball on the 35 or the 40-yard line, because then the field position's big. Then you're going to get the kickoffs. But having it on the 30, we've seen it, Bob. You know, when the average return is 28 or 29 yards, why bother?
Now, he did mention that Keaton Mitchell's recovering nicely. Thank you very much. To the point where he's going to be active this season. Say he comes back. Say he is the Keaton Mitchell pre-injury. Where does he fit into everything here?
I think the way I'd look at it, Bob, is, okay, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it, because we'll see if anybody gets hurt, number one. If not, you're putting in like a playmaker. You're adding another playmaker to that, you know, playmaking offense. I mean, it's just another weapon. I mean, Bob, I mean, can you imagine having that weapon where you can, you know, I mean, you got a Henry that 250 pounds, and then you got a dude that runs 4.2 that, you know, it's like pitcher throwing a changeup and then that 95 mile an hour fastball coming, it looks like it's 105.
But Justice Hill, assuming he would be the one who gets, you know, reduced PT, he's good out of the backfield, even though the target's been kind of limited, but great in pass protection.
Oh, Bob, Sunday, his pass protection was outstanding, and you're exactly right. He will be in there because Keaton Mitchell won't hold up in the pass protection like Justice Hill does, and he's excellent at it.
It's 5880-1057 The Fan. When we come back here on this Turn It Up Tuesday, the Feeble Five. You're new to the show. You're like, what the hell is the Feeble Five? Well, it's the five worst teams in the NFL. We gave you the Dirty Dozen, the 12 best, led by the Minnesota Vikings. We're going to come back. V's going to tell you the five worst teams are through 6 weeks. No shortage of candidates. So you're going to find out that one. And then bottom of the hour, Michael Felder, college football analyst, will talk about the college landscape 7 weeks in and the disappointing season that it's become down in College Park with the Terps 3-3, 0-3 in the Big Ten with Wisconsin. With USC coming to town, and USC's 3-3, but they're 7-point favorites on the road.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more, Rich.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
How in the world?
Vinny and Haney's Feeble Five.
It has been a nightmare for this team.
The handful of teams we wish the Ravens were playing.
You suck.
105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Turn It Up Tuesday. Michael Felder, talk college football with him. Bottom of the hour. Stay tuned for that. But we're done. 6 weeks NFL. Ended last night with Buffalo edging the Jets 23-20. Jets traded for Davante Adams today. Got him from the Raiders. They told Hassan Reddick to go look for another place to play. So we'll see how that one all goes. Boy, the Jets love that too. They like being in the news cycle on Tuesdays.
Yeah. That's Players' Day off. Yeah. That's when to do it. Because the work week for players starts tomorrow.
Yeah, usually talking about a loss, unfortunately, if you're a Jets fan. But that's neither here nor there. But earlier in the show, Vinny gave you the Dirty Dozen. They are the 12 best teams in the NFL, led by the Minnesota Vikings, undefeated, coming off a bye, followed by the other undefeated team, Kansas City. Now let's get to the opposite end of the spectrum, the five worst teams, the Feeble Five.
All right, well, let's go back and recap last week. Cleveland 1, Carolina 2, New England 3, Jacksonville 4, and the Rams were 5 who had a bye. Otherwise, what did all those teams have in common?
They all lost?
Yes. All right, coming in at number 5, they replaced the Rams. 1-4 Tennessee.
You suck!
They lost to Indy 2017. They're at Buffalo. Tennessee's been shut out in the fourth quarter in 4 of their 5 games.
And Tony Pollard's not having that bad of a year, but that is that Treylon Burks, A.J. Brown swap out did not work out well for them.
Yeah. Denard Wilson's defense doing a good job, though.
They're trying.
Coming in at 4, 1-5 Jacksonville.
You suck!
They lost to Chicago 35-16. They're hosting New England, or they're playing New England over in London.
Yeah, get that out of the country.
Yeah.
We don't even want it on our soil.
Right. Jacksonville's defense has allowed 14 touchdown passes and have only one interception, and they give up a quarterback rating of 114.4.
And Shad Khan said this is the most talented team he's had since he's been the owner, huh?
So maybe Drake May's going to have a big day.
Yeah, readjust your expectations.
Well, sounds like Mike Locksley.
Yes.
Coming in at number 3, 1-5 New England.
You suck!
They lost to Houston 41-21. They're playing Jacksonville like we just talked about. So one of those guys is going to win.
Go ahead.
The Patriots are averaging an NFL worst 134.2 yards per game passing.
And Drake May, I saw that he threw a couple of air touchdowns that hadn't happened for them in a long, long time. So bringing a big arm to the equation.
3 touchdown passes. Now, if you doubled all their air yards, they still wouldn't lead the NFL, which is Seattle. Coming in at 2, 1-5 Carolina.
You suck!
Yeah, they lost to Atlanta 38-20. They're at Washington. Panthers have scored 1 second-half touchdown all season. That occurred when they were losing 37-3 to the Saints in Week 1.
Really?
Yeah.
The entirety of the season, they've scored 1 second-half touchdown?
Yes.
That's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
And it's all Bryce Young's fault.
Yeah, he's probably laughing.
Coming in at number 1, 1-5 Cleveland.
You suck!
They do. They lost at Philly 2016. They're hosting the Bengals. Now, Deshaun Watson, he's failed to convert his last 26 third downs.
What's more unbelievable? 1 touchdown in 6 games in the second half or 0 for 26 in third down?
Oof. I mean, there's a reason why you're 1-2 on the Feeble Five. I mean, I mean, on your third downs. I mean, Bob, that's like runners in scoring position. You're 0 for whatever.
Yeah, and then you're home for the holidays.
I don't know. But in summary, Cleveland 1, Carolina 2, New England 3, Jacksonville 4, Tennessee 5. I think we're kind of, you know, it's been six games now, kind of getting a pretty good feel of who's who and who's not.
All right, week 7 NFL starts Thursday night in New Orleans. Saints have lost 4 in a row. Hey, maybe they're going to start sniffing that feeble 5. They keep rolling the way they're rolling. But Denver at the Saints, Denver minus 2.5. Vinny mentioned New England in Jacksonville in London. Jacksonville's 5.5-point favorites. Wow.
Are they really?
Oh, that's, again, get out of my country with that. Seattle at Atlanta, Falcons minus 2.5, Tennessee at Buffalo, Buffalo minus 8. Vinny mentioned Cincy at Cleveland, Bengals minus 5. Houston at Green Bay, one of the games to watch.
Yeah.
Packers minus 2.5, Dolphins at the Colts, fighting Flacco's 3.5-point favorites there. Detroit at Minnesota, another epic game. These are 1 o'clock games, by the way. Vikings minus 2.5. Philly at the Giants. Well, it's a rivalry game. Philly minus 3.5. Now we're getting late stages. Raiders at the Rams. Rams minus 6.5. Carolina at the Commanders. Washington 7.5-point favorites in that one. Kansas City at San Francisco. A little Super Bowl rematch going on here at 4:25. 49ers 1.5-point favorites.
I think Kansas City gets its first. They're coming off a bye, though. And doesn't Andy Reid like have an unbelievable record after byes?
Yeah, he's the anti-Michael Oxley, apparently. Maryland does not do well after
Oxley's
the bye.
Oxley's getting a lot of play on it.
Hey, this is nothing personal. No. It's just business. Giants. Jets at the Steelers. Looks like Russell Wilson. Jets minus 1, so it's the new-look Jets with Devontae Adams and Russell Wilson. This is Sunday night, by the way, 8:20. Intrigue there because the Jets need to start accumulating some wins.
No doubt.
And the Steelers are trying to keep pace with the Ravens on top of the AFC.
Well, and plus, Buffalo's got, Buffalo doesn't have a difficult game, so that's really imperative because you can't go down 3.
2 Monday night games. Chargers at the Cardinals. Chargers 2.5-point favorites is Arizona. Good luck trying to figure them out. And then obviously the Ravens are at Tampa. That's the main game, 8:15. It's on ABC, so you get to watch it for free on the network there. Ravens 3.5-point favorites. Both teams are 4-2 and coming off impressive wins. Ravens against Washington at home and Tampa blowing out New Orleans at the Superdome.
So I guess Jack Harbaugh needs 2 TVs, Bob?
Get 2 wrong. If I got 4, he better have 2. That Chargers-Cardinals game, by the way, is on ESPN+. So you have to have a subscription to watch that one. Or you'll need a prescription.
Yeah.
No dose to get through that thing. Either way. But that's week 7. Yeah, we're coming up on it. Week 8 college football starts. Is there a MAC game? Don't they have the MAC games already
Tuesday,
rolling on
tonight.
Tuesday?
Yeah.
We'll talk college football with Michael Felder when we come back. Funhouse Trip, Nolan McGraw. Then Inside Access takes over too. And we got baseball tonight, right? Game 2 ALCS. Yankees trying to go up 2-0 on the Guardians. College football, what's it, week 8 coming up here, believe it or not? Terps host USC. Saturday, a 4 game you can hear on the Fan. Maryland, they're 3-3, 0-3 in the Big Ten. It is what it is. And here to talk about that and everything else going on in the college football landscape. College football analyst, expert, former college football player at the University of North Carolina. Let's welcome back to the program Michael Felder. Michael, what is up?
Man, yeah, 0-3. That's a tough one to lead in on. I was going to say, I didn't think you were going to bring it up, but I was going to say, can I get a music request?
What do you want to hear?
Some Pat Benatar.
What, hit me with your best shot, I guess?
No. Come on. Give me a little deeper, not a deep cut, but give me some Pat Benatar, man. I love her.
All right. Well, we got Nolan McGraw. He's our DJ. He's our little Ryan Seacrest over there, Michael Felder. He'll get our songs rolling.
Love is a battlefield.
There you go.
Love is a battlefield or We Belong. Those are my go-tos.
Now, with the Terps, we are the flagship home of Maryland, but we have to be as objective and unbiased
sure.
as we possibly can. 10.5-point favorites, Northwestern coming off a bye. Maryland out of a bye has not been great. Michael Oxley's team, Coach Loxley, who we're friendly with, great guy, said this was the best team he's had at Maryland. They blew a big lead against Michigan State. I don't want to read the schedule because you know what the hell's going on, but Loxley took over the play calling for Josh Gattis against the Wildcats. Didn't work out. So I know you've always been pro Maryland. You're talking about there's potential for some good stuff, but 3-3, 0-3. I mean, where are they on the disappointment scale right now, Michael?
No, it's not great, is what I was going to say. You phrased the question a different way, so I was going to be like, hi. The Michigan State game, I had to watch that whole game because my wife went to Michigan State. So we were there. I was in the moment present for that one. And then the Virginia game, yes. And what's been interesting is Virginia's actually come out and done some pretty solid things. Villanova, of course, you're supposed to win that game. Indiana is maybe the most interesting team in the Big Ten that nobody's talking about.
Yep.
And then Northwestern, that's the one I don't understand, is the Northwestern game. And because Northwestern, I mean, they're not good at all. And so we'll see what happens with them. The Southern California game, I mean, this could be another game that's very similar to USC playing
Minnesota.
Minnesota, exactly. Yeah. So go in there, bog it down, take care of business. And I think the biggest thing for me is it time to start talking about like Lincoln Riley not being that good? Is it time to start talking about that? Because obviously, we're talking Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, Caleb Williams. If he has to do stuff by himself, because Miller Moss isn't bad, but if he has to do stuff by himself, nothing looks that great.
Michael, you mentioned Indiana and their quarterback, I guess, starting to deserve or get a little Heisman buzz there. But first time they've been undefeated this deep into the season since, what, the 60s? Look, the Penix year a couple years ago, which I believe was the COVID year, they had a good season, but, you know, they've fallen off. They fired a coach, made the change here. What about Indiana? Is this, for this season, sustainable? And are they building some things there in Bloomington that could be rather surprising over the next few seasons?
Well, Rourke is the kid. I liked him when he was at Ohio. So he's done a really good job. Like, he's been a solid football player across the board his entire, like, from what he's been. So they won't have him back, that's going to be rough for them. But you look at what they do, they score a ton of points. And they score points against, obviously, non-P4, I guess we're calling it now. But they score points against P4 teams, too, as well. And so they continue to put up points. I think this weekend against Nebraska is going to be really interesting because not just the Rayola storyline, not just the Matt Rhule trying to bring Nebraska back storyline. The reality here is if they can get to 7-0, like, people are going to have to put respect on them. You look at the rest of their schedule, they played Michigan and Ohio State in the last 3 weeks of the season. But if they can beat Nebraska, Washington, a limping Michigan State, which I hate it for you guys. You guys should have beat them. My wife's not home, so I can say that, okay? So, but they, if they can win the next three games, now we're talking about a team that's 9-0 going to Michigan, Ohio State, and then obviously Purdue at the end. And Purdue, goodness gracious, I mean, you want to talk about the bottom falling out of a program right now. So, even though they showed some fight when they beat Illinois, which I didn't.
No, they lost to Illinois.
They lost to Illinois. Yeah, you're right. They
50-49.
Showed some fight coming back.
Yeah.
They came back against Illinois, which I thought the game was over, and then I come back and I'm like, okay, we'll see what happens. But no, you watch this and you're like, if they can win these next three games, and they probably look, Michigan to me looks beatable. Don't you think so?
Absolutely.
They have no ability to throw the football anywhere. Like, none. It reminds me a lot, and the problem is they don't have Leonard Fournette, but I was going to say it reminds me a lot when LSU had Leonard Fournette and they could not throw the football, except you don't have Leonard Fournette. You have Mullings, who's good, but he's not Leonard Fournette. And so this is going to be really interesting to see what that looks like. So, I mean, in theory, Indiana, yeah, they're a player, and they're not just a player for – hang on. Let me ask you guys this. How do you feel about this divisionless football?
No, I'm cool with it.
Yeah?
Yeah. Hey, let me just say this, Michael. I think this season, I don't know if there's one great team, but the fantastic finishes that we've had each week, It's phenomenal. Each week, you know, starting with like Georgia and Alabama, and then every week after that, we've had phenomenal games. And some of the weeks, like me and Bob is like, bad weekend this week, and come back on Monday. It's like, damn, you know, how about this game or that game? Or, you know, I mean, there's been so many great games.
There have been. I mean, Oregon-Ohio State was – that was awesome. Oregon looks so fast. And is it Ohio State's secondary is slow or Oregon is just that fast? And the Dan Lanning controversy about did he purposely put 12 guys on the field has been very interesting to follow over the course of the last few days. So I'm excited about it. To go back to Indiana, if Indiana can win these four games, lose to Ohio State, what do they get? They end up they might be better off losing to Ohio State, beating Purdue, and then just hanging out while Ohio State has to have a rematch with Oregon. And, okay, sure, no problem. We're still get in. And that's the big thing for me with, like, the format of all this. And I sit down with my wife every week, guys, and because she follows football. She's a Michigan State fan. She went to Michigan State. But she's like, I don't understand how Iowa State would move up to four. And so the format of this whole thing, she's like, but Boise State is number whatever. And she's like, how would they move up to 12 if they're this? And I'm like, that's what we're doing right now. That's the reality. And we still, by the way, have you looked, and you guys are close to Annapolis. Have you looked at what would happen? Like, what's going to happen if Army and if they both beat Notre Dame, or one beats Notre Dame, one loses to Notre Dame, they play each other in the AAC championship game, and then they still have a game after the selection committee makes a decision? What happens there?
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Now, Michael, let me ask you this, because Ohio State's still got to go to Penn State yet.
Yep.
And that's going to be – that could be a – that'll be a really – if Penn State can stay undefeated up to that point, which is just a couple of weeks away, that'll be one of the biggest games, because that'll determine if Penn State could win that game, they may be number one.
Yep. Mm-hmm. No, they'll be number two. Texas
– well, Texas playing Georgia this week. We'll see.
I like Texas a lot, man. You said there were no great teams. I think Texas might be a great team. They're on the cusp. They're the only team we've seen this year that I think is on the cusp of being a great team.
I agree with that.
But the thing for me, though, Penn State, how do you lose a guy that's wearing number 44 and weighs 245 pounds? How do you lose him? How do you not know where he is? I'm talking about Tyler Warren, the tight ends.
Slash.
How do you lose him? In USC, they were just, pardon my language, but they were like a bunch of dummies out there. Like, how do you not know where this guy is? How every play you should be like, he's here. Because think about this. We've all watched a lot of college football, right?
Mm-hmm.
Every single time Reggie Bush was on the field, what was the defense doing? That's Reggie Bush is here. He's lined up in the slot. Reggie Bush is lined up in the backfield. He motioned out. Everybody is shifting their defense to make sure they pay attention to Reggie Bush. Now, was he good enough to take care of it? Absolutely. But we did see teams making sure they knew where he was. I'll even go, listen, we're going to talk Penn State. Shafi Fields. People knew exactly where that guy was. Defensively, if you talk Penn State, everyone knew where LeVar Arrington was every time. Now, did he overcome it? For sure. I'll go Maryland. Because we played Maryland. When I was at UNC, when they were in the ACC, we played Maryland. That was one – I was like, I hope I don't get in this game because this guy's a monster, Vernon Davis. I was like, yo, he's embarrassed all my teammates, and they're better than me. I don't want to be in there. And we all knew where he was every single play. And somehow USC lost this guy. How do you lose someone that's – what is he, 6'4", 245, 250? Like, how do you lose him? And he keeps getting open. Like, this is ridiculous. So, I think it's USC, they're not very good. So, hopefully Maryland gets – I hope Maryland wins this weekend. I do. Because they're not very good. And it seems like they're done. So, bracket this guy, put coverage on him, pay attention to him, and they don't do that. And it's very frustrating as a guy who's deep made, like, my defense isn't the thing I love the most. And if you don't, that's like lining up and not knowing where, like, Rob Gronkowski is, or not knowing where Travis Kelce is, not knowing where, like, you see what I'm saying? Like, how do you not know where these guys are?
Michael Felder talking college football with us heading into week 8. Michael, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the games this weekend, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Sounds good, man. You guys take it easy.
There he is, Michael Felder, everybody. Got a lot to say. Got a Gronk reference, a Vernon Davis reference. I mean, we're going all over the place getting you covered
Reggie
there.
Reggie
Bush reference. We got you covered. We'll come back, Funhouse, Mr. Electricity, and then Inside Access takes over. We got playoff baseball, ALCS Game 2, Yankees Guardians. You can hear it on the fan. Because we're going to be at Jones Kia tomorrow.
Yes, we are. We'll be at Jones Kia at their grand opening tomorrow, so that'll be good. We'll be getting our oil changed, me and Bob.
My brakes have been squealing a little bit, too. Maybe I'll get a little intel
check
on that.
Check that out. Yeah.
Anyway, Colton Cowser, Ryan Mountcastle, Gold Glove finals, left field, first base, respectively. No Mullins. I don't know, man. What's this guy got to do to get some respect around here? What I got to do to get some respect around here?
And you can't use the excuse that, oh, he doesn't play enough games, because that seemingly isn't a consideration at all. You got a ton of guys listed here as nominees that missed significant chunks of time this season.
Ryan Mountcastle comes
Mountcastle
to mind.
Missed some time. So last year as well. He was a finalist last year, missed some time too.
Well, credit to him, by the way, for a guy that was drafted as a shortstop, then the third base, then the left field, found a home at first base, has done quite nicely, thank you very much. But one home run in the second half of the season's not going to get it done, because he was brought here for his bat. Matt Borscholte, by the way, one of the pitching coaches, he's going back to the Twins to be there, our hitting coach, because they, I guess, reassigned or fired, whatever it is, because we talked with Scott Miller.
They got rid of a bunch of guys.
Well, the Twins, they flatlined big time down the stretch. What were they, 93% chance to make the playoffs in September? Didn't get in. But you knew changes were going to be made, and they were. It'll be interesting to watch this all unfold for Brandon Hyde and Mike Elias as they reconstruct the staff. Because, yeah, back-to-back postseason appearances for the first time in 27 years, awesome. Now it's time to like win some games. We're there. We're in the winning business now. No more rebuilding and happy to be there. We're in the winning business here in Baltimore with the Orioles and the Ravens. Who Ravens got to get to the Super Bowl. Well, nobody trying to hear anything but that.
I mean, Bob, listening to Ryan Ripken talk earlier in the show, when he was talking about Hyder's got the heat on him next year.
He got the heat on him now from a lot of Oriole fans. Nolan's not on. You're not on the fire Hyder train, are you?
Well, I'm not beating the drum that he's the greatest thing since sliced bread either. He's earned more. He's earned
sure.
more. I can't confidently say whether or not that he's the guy that'll lead him to a World Series or not. But I mean, I know he's good enough to have them in the postseason. That's for sure.
Yeah, manager of the year, making the playoffs, been there, done it. Now it's like, let's win some series here. Let's get deeper into October. Devontae Adams going from the Raiders to the Jets. And it looks like Russell Wilson's going to start against said Jets coming up on Sunday night. So there you go. Anything we missed? Or are we ready to get to that?
I think that just about covers it.
Let's do it.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Well, let's start here with that Russell Wilson news. Texter here says, I absolutely welcome a quarterback controversy for the Steelers. Best case scenario, they lose with Wilson. The locker room fractures over the decision for him to start. They're already hanging on by a thread, that thread being their defense.
Yeah, the defense is playing real well. The offensive line is the struggle. So with Justin Fields, at least they had the ability for him to run it a lot. With Russell Wilson, they won't. And we'll see if he can get the ball down the field and get the ball out of his hand quick.
Just waiting on the first blow-up incident between George Pickens and Russell Wilson. Seems like some conflicting personalities, just from my perspective. But could make for entertainment, that's for sure.
Well, he's always open. Just read his eye black.
Yeah, he'll tell you. Bill in Bayview checking in response to Vinny's Dirty Dozen. He has his own, I guess, says, feeling very similar, except I can't leave San Francisco off. They come in at 12 for him. Not quite ready to promote the Bears. Meanwhile, he's got Kansas City as his number one. They haven't lost in how long? They've got to be number one.
Kansas City, I mean, they've won these games, but they've looked ugly winning, but they still won. But nothing's been convincing. You know, like a lot of these other teams have convincing road wins, and Kansas City just kind of ekes out every game.
Well, they both have interesting matchups this weekend.
This texter here talking about the Ravens defense says, goes to show you defensive coordinator Zach Orr not ready for the big time. The Commanders had one weapon coming into that game, Terry McLaurin. Orr and company never deciding to give him double coverage, and he burned him.
Well, he didn't burn him for a big play. You know, he and the guy was had him covered. I think on some of those plays, Jaden Daniels, give him a little credit, made some great throws.
And how about we close up with this one here? CQ in Rosedale says, as far as the comparisons, Derrick Henry versus historical running backs, CQ here saying, one of my all-time favorite running backs was Earl Campbell. Seeing some similarities between him and King Henry. What do you guys think?
Earl Campbell?
Fair.
Yeah.
Earl had juice. He had speed.
Yeah. Where, like Herschel Walker was much faster.
Yeah, Herschel, like Bo Jackson and Herschel Walker kind of, to me, similarities. But Earl Campbell, Derrick Henry, I think it's appropriate. Earl Campbell, Heisman winner.
Yeah.
With the Longhorns and one of the great individual performances that Monday night game his rookie year against the Dolphins, and then running over Isaiah Robertson as the entire Houston Oilers, as they were at the time, ripping his jersey off. I mean, Earl Campbell was a badass. Shelf life wasn't as long as Derrick Henry's, though, because old Bum Phillips ran him into the ground.
Yes, he did. Yeah, and that was when one guy carried it 37 times a game.
Yep, sometimes in a quarter.
Yeah.
With no shoes and her sister's underwear. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. That's going to do it for us. Inside Access coming up next, followed by the American League Championship Series Game 2, New York and Cleveland. We're live from Jones Kia in Bel Air tomorrow. So come out and say hi to us from 10 to 2. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. Talk to you in the morning. For now, class dismissed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app